Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax. I have a real treat for y'all today. I did an interview last week with Conrad of ConradRocks.net, where we talked about prophetic evangelism, or when the Lord gives you a word for somebody, you know, and you go and you tell them and stuff like that. It was really interesting. Conrad's always interesting to talk to anyway, but Conrad has graciously allowed me to share the podcast here with you. I asked him if that was okay, and he very graciously agreed that I could do that. So thank you to Conrad for that. And y'all check out his site, conradrocks.net. He's got a lot of stuff on there. I've known Conrad since about 2009 when I first got on YouTube, and he is a true man of God. He listens to the word constantly. He knows so much Bible, and he has so much revelation. And you can really learn a lot from his podcast. He's really, really intelligent, as well as being a very spiritual person. So here's the show with Conrad from ConradRocks.net, where he's interviewing me. It's pretty long. It's about, I think it's about 45 minutes. And I hope you enjoy it. If you do, jump over to his site, ConradRocks.net, and leave a comment for him.
Hey, everybody, do I have a treat for you today? On the horn with me right now, I have Glenda Lomax, and her blog is Just Praise Him, or is it wingsofprophecy.blogspot.com? Which one do you like to call it?
It wingsofprophecy.blogspot.com works when the domain host is not working, which is a lot of the time right now because the website's being revamped.
And you have Just Praise Him Radio, which is a podcast on Podbean. And I've known you since you were Texas Author 1 back in the early 2008, 9, 10, and now you're Glenda Lomax. You've got your most recent video. Wow, I'm looking at it. It's got 110,000 views on it, the deadly winter word, which is a prophetic word. And Glenda's agreed to come on and talk to me about the nuts and bolts of prophetic evangelism. Right? We're going to dig deep.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for having me on, and hello to all the listeners.
Amen. Now, you know, one of the things you mentioned in our conversation is a prophetic word got you saved.
Yes, it did.
Tell us about that.
I was running top speed as far and as hard as I could away from Jesus. My mother was a devout Christian, and my oldest sister was a devout Christian, and they were tag teaming me. I don't know if they were getting on the phone and prayed or what, but they were out. They were determined I was going to get saved, and I was determined I was not going to get saved. I was 36, and I was just, you know, I was just doing me. I was just being me. That's all. And I just didn't see anything I was interested in, so I was running the other way. And I'm doing a job in Chickasha, Oklahoma, and was had an apartment rented there instead of staying in a motel. And one Sunday afternoon, this girl that I knew there, her parents lived in the same complex and they were pastors. But I knew this girl, she was like 15 or 16, something like that. She knocks on my door, and this Sunday afternoon, I went and answered the door, and she said, "I have a word from God for you." And my eyebrows shot all the way up to my hairline, y'all, because I was like, what could her God possibly want to say to me? That was literally what I thought. And my next thought was, well, I was bored anyway. She said, "Come outside." So I shut the door and followed her outside. Went down to the parking lot because my boyfriend was in my apartment, and went down to the parking lot. And she turned around and she looked at me and she said, "He has a plan for your life, and the way you're living is not it." And I started laughing. I said, "Yeah, I wouldn't think it would be the way, you know, what he would plan," because I knew which God she was talking about. And she continued to, and I didn't even know this girl had a prophetic anointing. I didn't even know what a prophetic anointing was back then. And she continued to, I can't remember, she said a couple other things like, "You've always known you were different," or some stuff like that. But then she said something, I'm trying to remember what it was. And I used to have this memorized, y'all. I'm sorry, I'm just older now.
I'll put the link in the show notes of that very first video from 2009 so people can watch it.
Okay, she said something that I suddenly recognized. This girl had been coming over to my house some. She knew my son, and he was going back and forth between Sayre, where he was enrolling in college in Oklahoma, and he would come stay at my apartment for 2-3 days, you know, for a change of scenery. He was just always running around, and she liked him. And so she would come over to my house so she could see him, you know, and talk to him and stuff. And one day she walked in, and I was doing fortunes. I was reading my fortune with playing cards because I did New Age stuff back then. And she walked up to the table where I was doing it. She said, "You know, that's wrong, right?" And I thought, "Oh, here we go. Here comes the lecture, you know, that." And I thought, "Well, I hope it's short, you know, because I hated to be bored." And she didn't lecture me. And I said, "Well, I know the God you believe in or the Bible that you read says that it's wrong," or something like that. And she said, "Okay, that's all I wanted to know." And she turned around, walked off. And I was like, and I sit there and I watched her walk away. And I thought, I like her, because she didn't condemn me. She just kind of was more like informing me. But so she's given me this prophetic word. And she said, so I started kind of praying in that time period. And I wasn't big on praying because I didn't really believe. But I remember one day I said, "If you're real, show me and I'll follow you." That was my whole prayer. And her showing up at my door was maybe a week later, something like that. And she said something in the course of that word, I can't remember right now, that I realized suddenly he was answering that prayer. And I thought, "Oh my gosh, he's real. He's real. And he knows who I am. He's real. And he's talking to me." And that was it. I sold out right there on the spot. And I never looked back. Best decision I ever made.
That's the power of getting over yourself and delivering a word. Just imagine if she wasn't obedient.
Yeah. Yes. I do imagine that often. I still thank God for her. I thanked her many times, thanked her parents, I mean, you know, took her out to dinner. I mean, everything I could do to thank her, because it completely changed my life. I didn't even know how empty I was until I got Jesus.
Amen. Now, you mentioned something, and I know I interviewed you a long time ago, probably back in the Blog Talk Radio days, but you were in the occult. And I've noticed that a lot of people that are in the Christian prophetic came out of the supernatural occult.
Yes.
Have you noticed that?
Yes.
How's that impacted your Christian walk?
I think it makes you better because you recognize New Age when you see it in someone else. And like for me, because I teach a lot on deliverance issues, if someone's involved in New Age, I immediately know that it's there. I see it. And it makes you more sensitive to the spiritual realm, I believe, because that's what you're interacting with when you're in the occult. And when you're in New Age stuff, you're interacting with the spiritual realm, but just not the good side.
Amen. And I know that too, because I was in the New Age, and it's kind of, I tell people it's like this. You're raised on a farm. You don't smell the horse manure because you're there all the time. And then when you move to the city, it's gone. But you drive down that road in the country, and 2 or 3 miles away is a farm. And you go, "I can smell that New Age thing from a mile away." It's a familiar spirit, and you recognize it. And that actually helps us in our prophetic evangelism.
Yes, it does. I believe it does.
Now, should we really be calling it prophetic evangelism, or is it just basically following the spirit for every believer?
I think it's just being led of the Spirit, using whatever gift you have, whether it's a prophetic anointing or something else. I think the key to success in evangelism is to use whatever your gift is, whatever God has placed in you to use. This happens to be mine. Words of knowledge and prophetic stuff happens to be mine, but somebody else's gift may be, you know, music, or maybe worship, it may be something else. And when that anointing falls on you, whatever your gift is going to speak to that unsaved person, because even the unsaved can feel that anointing. And even the unsaved can feel his presence when it shows up.
Amen. And when Ananias was praying, and he says to Paul, or God says, "You're going to go down a street called Straight," or something like that, or he's saying, "Behold," he's praying. That's just a spiritual relationship with God. That's not necessarily prophetic. And if Paul tells us to covet to prophesy, then that means people aren't prophesying yet. So it's open for every believer, right?
I believe it is.
Okay.
Because it's just hearing from God, I think.
And we're all supposed to.
Yes, we all should. The word says the sheep know his voice, and the sheep, you know, hear him. We're supposed to hear him. And I asked him about that years and years ago, and he showed me a vision where a man was sitting. He was trying to talk to this man. This man was sitting on the other side of this big pile of stuff. And the big pile, the stuff was all the activities in that man's life and all the things he was concerned about. And the Lord showed me in that vision, it's the busyness that keeps us from being able to hear him. So it's a miracle I hear him at all, because I'm constantly going 90 to nothing. But I think because I'm so, you know, that remember the Great Recession, 09, who can forget that? I had so much time because I was out of work, and I spent it reading the word and praying and, you know, and all that, and drew closer to him. And then when I went back to work, I took that with me. And I think that's the only reason the busyness doesn't completely override his voice all the time, is because of that. The busyness will keep you from hearing God, because we have to, it's a still small voice, and you can't hear it over the loud roar of everything else.
I'm going to interject a couple of scriptures here. Here's that, you know, that one verse, be still and know that I'm God, I will be exalted. I forget the reference. There's also a couple of times where Jesus says, you know, on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, take no thought for tomorrow. And that busyness is worrying, right?
So
God knows
true.
What we need. He also says, when you're about to stand before magistrates and to be killed, I don't have the scriptures right at my fingertips, but he says, take no thought what you will say beforehand. But in that hour, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. I'll put that into the show notes.
True.
But the thing is, you have to clear your mind so you can hear from God, just like Glenda says.
I think that helps more than anything else, other than you have to have a relationship with him. You know, you can't just, he's not an ATM machine. You can't just show up when you want something and then go back away and expect to have a relationship, just like with people.
Amen. That's right. He's not an ATM machine. That's good.
No. Some people think he is, though.
Yeah.
For real.
Now, how do you know where to go? I mean, that's another question we have in the show notes here.
For me, the Lord has always just told me if I need to go to a certain place. I'll tell you the most memorable one, because it happened in the mid-90s. I'd been saved like 20 minutes when this happened. Not really 20 minutes, probably about 2 months when this happened. And I left the seismic crew I was on, and I went to South Louisiana on a different job doing contract work. And I just arrived in New Iberia, Louisiana on this oil and gas job. And I had not even been in New Iberia for a week. And I was by myself. And I was doing seismic permitting ahead of a swamp crew. So it was in the evening. It was in the fall. And it was pitch dark outside. I'm in my motel room. And I'm like, oh, thank God the day's done. And, you know, I could relax now. And God spoke to me. And he said, I want you to go outside and jog. And first of all, I am not and have never been a jogger. Second, it was dark out there. It was dark, Conrad. I mean, dark, dark. It was dark 30. And I'm in a new state in a strange town. And I just, you know, I just didn't do that. But anyway, I know better than to argue with God. So I said, okay, Lord. And I put on sweats and grabbed my key, and out the door I went. So I'm jogging around this motel in the dark. And this man comes up alongside me, and he said, ma'am, can I talk to you for a minute? And I said, sure. And I slowed to a walk. He was a tall man. He had wavy hair and a kind voice. His name was Lawless Broussard. And he was a security guard there. And he said, ma'am, it's really not safe for you to be out here jogging. He said, a woman was just raped a block from here. I think he said like 2 weeks before that. And he said, they haven't caught the guy that did it. And he said, you really should go back inside. And I said, I know you're right. And I said, normally I would not even leave my room after dark. And I said, but the Lord told me to come out here and jog. So I am. And he stopped in his tracks. And I mean, it looked like he went into shock. And I don't remember what he said next, but this kind-hearted man had been backslidden for years before that. And it was him that God sent me to. And by the end of that evening, I stopped jogging at that point. And we ended up just walking for a little while. And by the end of that evening, he had rededicated his life to the Lord. I'd made a good friend. And within a month, his entire family got saved. His mom, his brother, the grandkids. I can't remember who all else. The entire family. I got to go meet all of them. And he went on to witness to so many people. He passed away in early 2017. That's the power of what God can do. Just through, I did not want to go out there in the dark. I traveled for over 10 years, 100% of the time with my work. It was probably 15 or more years. And one of my rules was I was inside before dark and I didn't go back out. because you have to be careful. You don't know these towns you're in. You don't know your surroundings, and you can't just. I know God. Somebody tried to follow me into my room in Lafayette on another job later on when I was down there. And but yeah,
you're still here. You're still here.
Still here because God is good.
Now, I wanted to back up on when you were told to jog. Now, we're getting into the nuts and bolts here. Okay. What was it, an external audible voice? Was there a burning bush or was it an intuition? how did you hear from God? How did you know it was God? I mean, obviously it was God, but what are the nuts and bolts of that? How did it work?
I've never heard him audibly. I would probably be terrified if I did. Everybody that I have read about that has heard him audibly was terrified for a good 2 weeks afterwards. They said it is the voice of many waters and it'll scare the daylights out of you. I've never heard him audibly. He is a spirit and I hear him in my spirit. And I don't know how to explain that. I know it's him. Part of it is about what he's saying.
Right.
You know, I didn't tell myself to go jog.
Right. But did it sound like here's the way I put it when I hear, and there's a scripture, let's see, they have their senses exercised by reason of use. I'm going to look up this passage. I'm going to not rob the people. I got to type.
You're so funny.
there's a scripture in Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat belongeth to them are of full age, even those who by reason of use has their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we actually have to do this stuff over and over and over. And some people, they say, it sounds like it's me, but it's a new thought that I wasn't thinking. It's kind of like driving down a freeway, yes, and here's this new thought, like eat Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, you weren't thinking about that. And
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Because it comes unbidden. I'll be walking around my house sometimes doing something and boom, he'll just speak something to me and I'll know it's him because I wasn't praying. I wasn't, you know, thinking about that. And yeah, that's a good way to put it. And his voice is a very gentle voice. I've never heard him loud. I have heard him stern. I've never heard him angry where I was really scared, but I've heard him stern before, especially sometimes when he gives me some of the words, the prophetic messages.
Okay. Now you were talking about how God, leaded you to a place, but during that experience, you were just being you. You didn't really give him like, oh, I perceive you got three kids and you live on 123 Main Street. You were being obedient. But what about words of knowledge? Can you give us an example of a successful time where you had a word of knowledge for someone?
I can. And I want to come back to something about lawless because it's a word for somebody that's listened to. Let me see. Yeah. There was a time in 2007, I think it was, I went in with a friend to William S. Key Prison in Oklahoma. It was my first time going into that prison. And there was this nice young man that was in the group that we were talking to. This man that I went in with was an older man. He went in all the time. He was really, really experienced. And just watching him work, because he operated in that constantly, watching him, it was jaw dropping because he was constantly getting words and he would grab one and take him aside and he'd grab somebody and take him aside and he'd pray for him. And just watching him, I just wanted to watch him for hours. But the Lord showed me this one young man. And he showed me a spirit of depression on him. And I can't remember now what he told me to tell him, but I waited until after the other man was through ministering because I didn't want to interrupt or distract or anything like that. And then I walked up to him and I asked him, I have him on my Facebook. We're still friends. He has gotten out of prison. He got married. He has a child now and he never got in trouble again. But I said, what do you remember about that day? Because I can't remember anything very much about it. And he said, I remember it was your first time coming into that prison. And he said, you didn't speak or anything. And I wasn't a speaker that day. And he said, I was having a really bad week. And he said, it must have showed. He said, I was missing my family really bad. And he said, you came up to me after church and said, I feel like God wants me to talk to you. And he said, we started talking. And he said, you said that you could tell that something was bothering me or something like that. And he told me what was going on with him. And we started writing. I wrote him a letter and he wrote me back and he asked me if I would mentor him. And I did. And we wrote occasionally for years. And then he got out and he has done so good. I'm so proud of him. He's done so good. He lives in Oklahoma City with his wife and his child, and he's doing great. I cannot remember what the word was that God gave me for him, but I remember that he told me something. Let me think of it. Let's see if I can think of any others. Let me look through my.
Let me pick your brain here, because this is something that I experience. When I'm in the spirit, it's like when I come out, it was like a dream. I don't remember it too well.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, all the time, because I don't remember. People.
You don't remember the word.
Yeah, people say, do you remember that word you gave me? No, and I'll just, they'll see the blank look on my face and they don't know if I have a memory problem or what, but I tell them if it comes up through my spirit, it don't go through my memory. It just comes up through the spirit, goes out my mouth and we're done. I just do what I'm supposed to do and we move on. That's the way I've done it. For the Lord started giving me words of knowledge when I was in my 20s, when I was still married to my husband, the father of my children. And I remember working at EDS in Plano, Texas, and getting words for people in the workplace. I remember this one lady, I walked into work that morning and he told me to walk up to this lady. And I remember he said, tell her that she doesn't have to be perfect, that I'll perfect her. I was like, okay.
Now, wait a minute. You said you're in your 20s, but you were lost back then.
I was. I was.
Explain that.
There were several times in my life that God drew me. My mother never stopped praying for me. She wore out her knees. I should have bought my mama some knee pads because she wore out her knees praying for me. Out of everybody in the family, she prayed harder for me. I guess I was crazier than everybody else. I don't know. But she told me, she said, I prayed for you for over 10 years. And she said, I almost gave up a few times. I said, I wouldn't have blamed you, but I'm sure glad you didn't. And she, that was the pride of her last years on earth, was that I had been called to preach. She bragged to everybody in the nursing home. They told me about it. It was so cute. But she prayed hard for me. So God drew me several times. He drew me when I was around 18. He drew me in my mid-20s when I was still married. And I would try to follow him, but I couldn't find, like, he drew me in my early 30s. Before he saved me at 36, he drew me in my early 30s when I was living in Elk City. And I remember visiting three different churches in Elk City, and nobody even walked up to me in the churches and said, hey, can you know, are you saved? Do you want to say the prayer? Can we answer any questions? No, I felt so out of place because no one hardly even spoke to me in any of those churches. And then the sermons were dry. And I was trying to find Jesus, and he wasn't in the churches, and I didn't know where else to look. I wasn't saved. I didn't know where else to look.
Wow. So
I didn't want to call my mom because I knew she'd preach at me, and I didn't want to be preached at. I just wanted to find him.
Yeah, the system is kind of a problem. It's just a monologue, give us your money and go home. When if you check, we're probably going to be talking about prophetic mentoring, but the churches, they met daily from home to home, and it was a question and answer. I mean, you know, it's a lot different than what we have today.
Yeah, very different. Yeah.
And Jesus was on the job, like, you know, you're getting in a boat, you land, and then there's this demoniac coming from the cemetery at you 100 miles an hour. Okay, here, this is on the job. You know, this is how you cast out a demon. Yeah. It's not a monologue, you know, and then when you show up, but anyway, so you said you might have another example.
Oh, Lawless, the man that I met in the parking lot of that motel that night, I was jogging. God reminded me when I was typing up these notes that, and I'd forgotten all about this. Lawless quit that job a week or so later. That motel had a club, and he came and told me the story after it happened. We were hanging out all the time after that. It was so much fun. And he was in the club doing his job as the security. And he had walked in there, was kind of walked around the club, you know, patrolling it. And the Lord spoke to him and said, what are you doing guarding the devil's territory?
Wow.
And he quit his job over that. And the Lord told me when I typed that up, he said, that's a word for somebody. You've been asking him about your job. And the Lord said to tell you, this is your answer right here. This is your answer. Do not be guarding the devil's territory.
That's good. That's good. Now, you know, another thing I was noticing, I was thinking about your YouTube videos, and when you get a word, you do what I call praying it through. And I noticed, like, in your most recent video about the deadly winter, it started out with just a couple of words, but over a couple of days or weeks, it just kept unfolding it. I mean, you want to talk about the persistence in just listening and seeking God?
I kept, for that's one of those things that I was walking around my house, cleaning my house, and I kept getting these two words. I'd be walking around sweeping my floor, and I have to sweep these floors all the time. And I kept hearing deadly winter, deadly winter, deadly. And this was all day, and it went for 3 days. And I thought, are you kidding me? And I said, Lord, what is this? Because I knew it was coming from him. deadly winter, deadly winter. And finally, I was about to do a podcast. So I just mentioned on the podcast, I said, I don't know why I'm getting this. Are y'all getting anything? And I just said, you know, deadly winter. I keep getting these words. As soon as I did that, Conrad, it stopped. But then a couple of weeks or so later, on like September 20 something, he gave me a word called a deadly winter or deadly winter coming. And that's when I understood why I was getting those words. And I was like, okay, this is a whole different deal. And that's when I made that video, because it was a warning of a very deadly winter that's coming. I don't know if it's this year, but what shocked me were there were well over 100 confirmations of other people who commented. And then there was a bunch that emailed me and said, I got the same message. He told me this, he told me that. And people in other countries that were told the same thing. Rick Wiles from True News emailed me and he said, you heard from God on that. He said that God spoke to him 10 years ago. And he said, I've been releasing all my program. And he said, when the mockers come out, he said, I'm sure they're coming after you too. I said, oh, they are. He said, you just keep telling them, because he said, that's the truth. You heard from God on that. And I've never talked to Rick Wiles before. Nicest man. Very nice man.
Amos 3:7, surely the Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. So, yeah.
It's his mercy.
Amen. What I liked about that, though, is you just heard something. It went on for a couple of days. You know, Jeremiah, what do you see, Jeremiah? Oh, I see a seething pot and it's, you know, facing the north.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't add two or two, but the revelation comes over a few days or weeks. How about the girdle? The girdle took weeks or months to get that word. So it's a persistence in seeking.
That's true.
Anyway, we kind of got off the, that's a nice little rabbit trail, but what's the difference? Now, I know you have open visions because you and I pretty much had an open vision at the same time before the Joplin tornadoes. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I do remember.
But you were out on your front porch and you said something's going to happen to the north and the east, and all those tornadoes that season were to the north of where you lived and to the east.
I think I was in the grocery store parking lot there in Princeton. I was about to get in my truck and all of a sudden I just had this terrible foreboding, and I turned around and looked to the north and I could see something very black and very deadly.
Right.
And I wasn't sure where it was, but I knew it was not good. And I knew that death was in it. That's what I remember.
Right. Now, would you call that an open vision, or was that strong?
That was what I would call an impression, a very strong impression or a forewarning.
Okay. All right. Well, what I was trying to get to is, what's the difference? See, with me, open visions, they're like, there's no doubt. I mean, this is not, it's very rare for me, but then when I have them, there's like no doubt, and this is real. But a word of knowledge is way more faint for me. So what for you, what's the difference between an open vision? Explain what that is, and how is it different from a word of knowledge?
A word of knowledge, like, I'll tell you a recent word of knowledge that happened. In May, this really nice young couple or youngish couple bought the little house next door to me. And I was so excited because they are the nicest people. And I'm like, oh, I'm so happy. I'm going to have nice neighbors. And so they're moving in and they're on the last day of their move in. And I'm trying to help them, and they needed something. And I'd come in the house to get it. And I'm in there digging, looking for whatever it was they needed. And God spoke to me and said, Satan had been trying for years to kill every one of them. Well, he already got one of them. 2 years ago, they suffered a horrible, tragic loss when their infant daughter died. Horrible, horrible. I mean, that's grief you can't even imagine.
Wow.
So, you know, they're still grieving that. And so I found what I was looking for, and I went back over there, and they're all standing there together. It's the mom and the dad and the 10-year-old son. And I said, I want to ask y'all something. I said, why has the devil been trying to kill every one of you for years now? And I mean, their jaws just drop because they're like, oh my gosh. And while the mom and the son are trying to pick their jaws up off the floor, the dad looked at me and he said, I'm called to preach and I haven't answered that call yet. And I said, okay, do you want to answer his call? And he said, yes. And I said, okay, I'll help you get started. And I helped him get his YouTube channel started. He's got like two or three videos out there so far. Yeah.
Amen. Now, that's a prophetic word of knowledge.
Yeah.
But give me an example of an open vision and how they contrast.
An open vision, and I don't have them very often either.
They're
rare. It takes over all your senses. Well, one that I remember very well, I was in Woodward in 2008 and I'm heating up a bowl of beans in the microwave. I'm standing in front of the microwave and all of a sudden it felt like a wall of wind hit me. Every vision I had that year in 2008, it felt like a wall of wind flew into me when it started. And that was some, I'm sure that was some, well, actually I did link that later to a dream vision, but that was about me. But the vision just took over all my senses. Couldn't feel my body, nothing. And it's like a movie comes on in front of you and you're not aware of what's around you. You're not, you don't feel your body anymore. I mean, you're completely in the spiritual realm. And this vision opened up where I saw the famine that was coming to America. And I had never seen anything about any famine, never heard anything about any famine. So I was pretty shocked when I came out of that vision. Amen. And you see it, sometimes you hear things in the spirit or you smell things or, you know, all your senses work in the spiritual realm for you to get the full effect of what the Lord is showing you. And you're shown information, you're shown a vision or you're shown, you know, something in the other realm that you need to know about. And then you come out of it and you have that information and you know when you come out of it, usually what you're supposed to do with the information.
Yeah, it's huge.
And I knew because the Lord spoke to me. He said, tell my people. I said, okay. I didn't know how I was going to tell his people, but that ended up being the start of the Wings of Prophecy blog the next year.
Amen. All right. So you just talked about earlier about how you had a word of knowledge for your neighbors. Now, a lot of people will ask me, you know, how I'm afraid, you know, how do I deliver that word? And I know you have no fear now, but maybe you did when you started out. What, how do you initiate the conversation?
I actually never start a conversation. What I actually do is I'll say, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And then I'll just go right into it. I don't know why I do it that way. I've always done it that way.
You don't have time to mess around.
I don't know. Maybe I'm probably afraid I can't remember it that long.
Oh, well, you don't go, hey, thus saith the Lord. You know,
I never do that.
Do you couch it? Do you couch it in a way that's non-confrontational?
I usually just say, the Lord just told me to tell you blah, blah, blah. And I just say it gently. I've never gotten a strong correctional word in a face-to-face thing. I get them all the time when I'm recording a podcast. I'll get them and I'll get a lot of detail. But in a face-to-face where God sends me up to somebody, he has not so far done that. I would still deliver it, but he's never said, you know, go tell that person if they don't stop messing around on their wife, you know, I'm fixing to take their business out. And he's given me those words on the podcast before.
Now, in real life, podcast is real life. What am I saying? In public, when you have a word like that, you just do it.
you don't
get them. Do you get words like that?
I don't get words like that in public. That's what I'm saying. He's never given me anything like that. That was real stern correcting. He usually gives me the more gentle, either encouraging words or words that give them some kind of information that to show them that that is him.
Okay.
There's usually something in a word of knowledge that only that person and God knew about. So that like when the word of knowledge came to me or the prophetic word came to me where I gave him my life, there was something in that word that I knew I had been praying about that she didn't know about. Only me and God knew about it. And so that was him showing me, hey, I'm up here and I'm real and let's talk. And he also showed me in my spirit that day. I don't think I ever told you this. That day, he showed me in my spirit as I'm standing there and she's delivered all this and I'm going, oh my gosh, he's real. He showed me a vision in my spirit of a fork in the road. And he showed me I was free to choose either one and he would not be angry at me if I didn't choose the way he was hoping I would choose, but that I wouldn't be on the planet very long. If I chose the other, I would not. He showed me a time period of about a week and a real bad car wreck.
Whoa.
I would not have, and I, you know, I wasn't as afraid to die as I should have been back then, but I wasn't going to take that route anyway. I would have followed the truth. I just was trying to find the truth.
Amen. It's a lot more fun.
Yes.
Being alive. And a lot more fun. You know, it's a lot more fun. Prophetic evangelism is fun. I mean, following the spirit is it's fun. I mean, that's probably not the best word. It's fulfilling. You know, you're doing now. I was going to ask you something else. Have you ever, probably when you started out, have you ever watered it down or have you ever, do you just say like, here's my thing. When I first started doing this, I would get cartoons and I made the mistake of trying to interpret what it meant. And I blew it. That's when I first started doing this. When I simply said, okay, I see a barn, I see a sun and a cloud, you know, they're like, how'd you know? So he was disguising it from even me, but he was talking to them through me. So have you ever,
misinterpreted,
made mistakes or whatever? Yeah.
I know I have. I'm trying to remember. And I remember one time I was prophesying to somebody and I kept talking after God stopped. I do remember that. Right. And then I caught myself and I told the person, because it was somebody I knew. But when I said, hey, that back that up to here, this point, blah, where I said this, I said that was where he stopped talking. The rest of it was me, just disregard it. I just was real talkative that day and I just blah, 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 you know, and kept going because I know we're not supposed to do that.
Don't add to or take away.
No, amen. Just give it like it is.
Now, what happens if you don't initiate the conversation? I've done it several times. So have you ever not given a word? And
there were two times that I didn't do something God told me to do. To this day, I regret both of them. And I will tell you those stories. I have never told them. One was back in about 2010. We had just all come through that terrible recession of 2009 period that was so hard. And I had gone back to work and I was doing land research. And I was doing it from home. When you have over 10 years experience, you can work from home for some companies. And I had run up to the post office there in Princeton for something. I think I had to get a money order to pay something for somebody else, and it had to be paid that day. And if I remember right, it was close to the holidays, and the line was humongous, which it usually wasn't that bad. So I'm looking at my watch because when I work from home, I'm just as conscientious as if I work with somebody watching me, because I just require that of myself. And so I'm conscious of, if I take 5 minutes extra for lunch, then I make that in, you know, I make that up. So the post office was very crowded. There were like 10 or 12 people in line and only one clerk working the line. So it was a wait. And I had only a little bit of time to get that and get back home and get back to work. And sometimes, you know, my bosses would call. And so I didn't want to be someplace else if they called. That was really what it was about too. And so I'm standing there and the line's gone down and there's only a couple more people to go before it's going to be my turn. And I was there like 10, 20 minutes. And I saw this lady put her package up on the counter to be weighed. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, go tell her that I said, everything's going to be all right. And so, you know, me, I looked at my watch. I turned around. I looked at the line behind me. A bunch of more people come in and there were people still coming in. And then I saw the lady pay and leave. I hesitated as that woman walked out the door, Conrad. And I never, ever do that. I was so stressed, worried about getting back to work. And of course, my little lightning fast brain later realized I could have just told her and obeyed him and done what he said and gotten back in line and made up my time at the end of the day. But at that moment, I was just worried about getting back to work. And I still to this day regret that. When I got up to the counter, they had not put her package over in the bin, and it was a package to an APO address. She probably had a child in the service and was scared to death for him.
Wow.
And was probably worrying and staring at the ceiling at night when she was supposed to be sleeping. And I feel so bad for that I didn't do what he told me to do.
It's worse. I'm just going to let you know, it's worse to not give the word than it is
far worse. It is far worse. Just give the word. And so all I knew to do after that was I prayed. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up. I should have done what you told me to do. And please send somebody else to do that so that woman doesn't have to suffer. That's all I could do. And I prayed that for days. I think I prayed it for weeks.
Yeah, that's two things that I want to touch on is, if that girl never gave you the prophetic word, look at all the people's lives that would have been not impacted. So it's not only you're robbing that person of their particular blessings, but all the people they will impact as well. And guess what? God may start using somebody else.
Yeah, and we don't want that.
Okay, so now we were talking earlier about how the system is basically a monologue. You go there and you're just listening to a guy talk, and they're kind of missing what's in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, let the prophet speak two or three, let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted in the spirits of the prophets, subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So the Bible clearly mentions practicing the prophetic. What do you think about prophetic mentoring?
I think it is the most valuable form of mentoring there is. That is the type of mentoring that I did when I still had time to mentor people. And there were times when I'd be mentoring somebody and God would tell me to warn them about a big temptation that was coming up, or to tell them this or that, or he'd say, you know, they need to learn this, or they're struggling with this, and maybe it was something they hadn't told me about, you know, and that way I was able to pray for them and minister to them in that area. It's a game changer in the right. mentoring.
Yeah. You know, when I got saved, God kept bringing me prophetic mentors just out of the blue. they would just show up.
That's awesome.
No, I'd like one time I dreamed about a couple, and 2 weeks later I met them, and then Yeah, they mentored me for a while. Before that, it was another person. Man, one time I was in Hawaii, and I had a dealing with an attorney. He goes, you know, I'm supposed to pray for you, which is it was an attorney, and then all of a sudden he's mentoring me. So it's just from one to the next, and you know, I think of things like Elijah and Elisha. Think of Jesus and the disciples, Paul and Onesimus, Paul and Timothy, the school of the prophets. There's a lot of, and here in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about two or three should get together and prophesy, and the one that's, you know, the seasoned prophet judges, say, hey, no, you're hearing from your heart. Yeah. Let's move to that. Sources of spiritual information. Do you think everything in the spirit realm is God? I mean, what all can be in the spirit that you pick up on?
There can be a lot that you hear from that's not God. You can hear from your flesh, which especially in the early years before you let God refine you and sanctify you, has a lot to say about everything. Your flesh has plenty to say. And you can hear from your own emotions. You can hear from the Lord, and you can hear from Satan.
Yeah, and he can sometimes... God talks in the Old Testament how the prophets prophesied by Baal, and they weren't really aware of it, you know?
Yeah.
He didn't say false prophets. He just said the prophets were prophesying. How about that one? It was the lion spirit. I think that's in Kings.
Yeah, I can't remember where that's at, but there also, there's another section that talks about, and I never can remember where it's at. I always have to search for it, that if a prophet gets into idolatry, that God will give him things that are not true. Or will have things given to him. They're not true. I don't want to say God gives him a lie, but he puts that spirit on him. And maybe that's the same one that says the lying spirit.
Yeah, there's a scripture that I think it's in Ezekiel. I myself have deceived that prophet. Ezekiel 14:9.
Maybe that's it.
And if a prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel.
Yeah, that'll pretty much shut down a prophet right there.
Yeah. I love studying. You know, there's a whole bunch of books out there about the prophetic, but the Bible, you know, if you just pay attention and let the Holy Spirit of truth guide you, there's lots of good stuff you can learn in the Bible. So,
yeah, it's never boring.
All right. So now we pretty much covered the gamut there. Is there anything else you want to add to about prophetic evangelism?
The only thing I would say is if you think God's telling you something, go say it. Don't hold back. Say it. Just say it gently. Just go deliver it. And that's how you'll learn you're hearing from him, because people will react when you give them a word from God. They'll react generally extremely positively. The Amen. Woman at EDS when I was in my mid-20s that he gave me a word for about being perfect, I walked up and told her that. She burst into tears.
Amen.
So she had really been hard on herself, apparently, and that was a great relief to her. It really helped her, and she thanked me and thanked me and thanked me. It set her free from that. And it was, you know, the glory went to God, not me, but.
Amen.
Those words are life-changing for people.
Absolutely. You know, something else is you're going to think you got it wrong, and you probably will get it wrong, but there are times in my life where I gave a word and they looked at me like I was an idiot. And 6 months later, they'll come back and say, well, that word came to pass. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like I was praying for somebody in the living room here recently, and it was like almost an open vision clarity. I mean, it was really strong. And I said, man, there's this barrier and God wants you to punch through it and reach the other side, you know, and it was really strong. And they looked at me like I was just like, I lost my marbles. And then they came back a month later and said, man, you know, I kept thinking about that word. And then I saw on this YouTube playlist, the word barriers. And I just clicked play. And within 30 seconds, I was on my knees crying because that's what I needed to hear. See, the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. The devil can't do that.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
And yeah, I have had that happen to me too, where people looked at me like I was just a nut job. And then I would just be okay with it because, you know, you get used to hearing from him, you know, you're hearing from him, and you know that people don't always know that it's a word when they get it.
Right.
Sometimes they don't.
Once you practice it enough, you're like going, yeah, you know what? I know I'm hearing something here. They're just, yeah.
Yeah. And you're okay with it. You get very confident as you go on, not prideful confident, but confident, you know, that sure that you heard him, and you can deal with those real easily when they happen.
Right. I'm looking up that scripture. We prophesy in proportion to our faith. Let's see. In Romans 12:6, we have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. You know, I believe that the more we step out, the stronger it gets. Our faith, we go from faith to faith. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Because it increases not only their faith, but also yours, because you're watching God work. You know, you're seeing him change people's lives, and they are seeing that God, you know, God sees them where they are. Just like that's what I saw when that girl gave me that word. I was like, he's real and he's alive and he knows who I am. Out of all the millions of people on earth, he knows who I am.
Amen. And you're important to him and he loves you.
Yes.
Okay, Glenda, it's customary to have the guests pray us out.
All righty then. Lord God, I lift every listener to you right now and also Conrad. And I pray that you will bless them, each and every one, Lord God. I pray you will bless Conrad's ministry as he continues to carry the gospel and the truth far and wide. I pray, Lord God, that these words would take root in their hearts and would grow up and bloom and come into a full harvest of fruit for the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord, for your time with us and for helping us with this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, Glenda Lomax, she has a blog, wingsofprophecy.blogspot.com. She has a podcast, Just Praise Him Radio. She also has a YouTube channel. You just find you by Glenda Lomax, right? GLYNDA.
Yes.
And she also is a best-selling author on Amazon. I've interviewed you on a couple of those books, The Healing Companion and, man, that was awesome, yeah, in the Wilderness Companion.
Thank you. The Wilderness Companion is my favorite out of everything I've ever written. It's my favorite still.
All right. I'm going to put the link to your Amazon page, your YouTube page, and your blog in the show notes. So you guys, you can just remember to go to the show notes. Thank you, Glenda Lomax, for coming on and having coffee with Conrad, talking about the nuts and bolts of prophetic evangelism.
Thank you for having me.
Now, wasn't that awesome? I would like to thank Glenda Lomax for taking the time out of her schedule to talk about the nuts and bolts of prophetic evangelism. It's a very important subject that's really kind of ignored today.
So there you have our interview on prophetic evangelism. And Conrad is the one person that I will always say yes to for an interview. There, as y'all know, I hardly ever interview on anybody else's podcast, but I love interviewing with him. He's so easy to talk to, and it's always a fun interview, and I always learn something from him. So I hope that you enjoyed that show. If you did, please leave a comment at conradrocks.net. He's got the podcast up. It's his podcast from this last week, so it's up there, and you can leave a comment on it, because he would really appreciate hearing that. He did all the work on this. All I did was answer his questions. He edited it and everything. So we need to appreciate him for that. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.